So I'm going to go a little, I'm going to go back to Genesis and then some Old Testament, and I'm going to bring it forward to the New Testament about the Holy Spirit and wisdom versus knowledge. What is the difference between wisdom versus knowledge? Does anybody know? Knowledge is the information that we have. Wisdom is how we use it. You could be a person that has all the knowledge in the world, but you still can't play the piano. That would be me. Not that I have all the knowledge in the world. But you can have all this wisdom, but if you don't know how to, or all this knowledge, but if you don't know how to apply it, wisdom is lost. And so the Holy Spirit comes when Jesus leaves because the Holy Spirit gives us wisdom into spiritual matters, into spiritual things. But Adam and Eve, right? We know the story of Adam and Eve. They go, they eat the fruit and all that good stuff. They fall. Sin enters the garden. And we talk about all the sin. We talk about all the darkness that comes. But do we ever see really how the enemy deceived Eve? Genesis 3, 4 through 6. You, just before this, Eve said to the Satan, or to the devil, that, well, we're not supposed to eat from this tree. And this is what the response was. You will not certainly die, the serpent said to the woman. For God knows that you will eat from it, and your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some of it and ate. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. So the enemy convinces Eve to eat the fruit. It gives you the understanding of good and evil. Here's the lie. You will gain wisdom. How many of us have ever sinned here? We had the knowledge that sin was bad, but we didn't have the wisdom to not do it. And so what the enemy did here was he was lying to her. He was bringing the deception of knowledge as wisdom. And we see this so often in our culture. We see this often in the world. I have all this knowledge. I have all these things. And I'm smart now. But it doesn't mean that in God's kingdom, that is wisdom. Wisdom tells you that driving at 100 miles an hour, you're going to get a ticket or an accident. Right? Knowledge says that's fun. All right, everybody here that just laugh, you got to repent. You're speeders, I can tell. Wisdom tells us that, or knowledge tells us we can do pretty much whatever we want. But wisdom reminds us that there's a cost. In our lives, we may have all the knowledge in the world. And see, I believe personally that that's why Adam and Eve were in the garden hiding. Take the innocence of your mind and every part of that, and then have knowledge of every sin that would ever be committed in the world. Because they were innocent till then. They only knew the goodness of God. They only knew the grace of God. They only knew the mercy of God. They only knew the relationship with God. And then to see all of the darkness and the evil and have knowledge of that. But what didn't they have? They didn't have the wisdom on how to handle that. And so they fell. They hid. They understood for the first time in their lives since they had been created what evil is or what the darkness of the world is. The enemy only offers us darkness. He may try to give us a little bit of knowledge and he might try to give us a little of this, but at the end of the day, all he offers us is darkness. Let's go down to Ezekiel 28, 16 through 17. Through your widespread trade, you were filled with violence and you sinned. So I drove you in disgrace from the Mount of God. And I expelled you, guardian cherub, from among the fiery stones. Your heart became proud on account of your beauty, and you corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. So I threw you to the earth. I made it a spectacle of you before. I made you a spectacle of you before kings. It's talking about Satan. Satan comes, he gets thrown down here. He had every piece of wisdom that God offered, right? Because tradition says that Lucifer was the number one worshiping angel. He saw the miracles of God. He was in proximity to God. He was created by God. He knew all of the goodness, all of the things that God had. But what did he have? He had the knowledge of pride. He had the knowledge to understand what sin was. And in his own mind and in his own thoughts, he chose to put himself before others. And he threw him to earth. And guess what happened when he threw him to earth? We got him. And he comes, right? He taunts us. That is why the enemy always wants to entice us and tempt us into sin, right? Because if he can tempt us, we take that step further, we take the step closer, we take the step closer, and then we step into sin. Temptation's not sin. It is the process that we go through, whether we either deny sin or accept Christ. We have to make that choice as believers. The enemy always wants to tempt us, always wants to lead us to the dark places. That's why he always comes at us in our own wounds, in our old wounds, in our own past, and in the things that he can poke fingers at and harm us and come against us. Because if he can move us in that direction, that we can operate in knowledge and not in wisdom, he can take us out. Right? I used to work at a college. There's a lot of knowledge there. Sometimes not a lot of wisdom. And sometimes we deal with people, they have a lot of knowledge, but they don't have a lot of wisdom. All of us have knowledge of what sin is. All of us have knowledge of what sin is in our life. All of us should know what the triggers and the things in our life are that will take us down dark roads or dark paths. The question that we ask ourselves is, do we open up the door for that to step into our life, or do we open up the door for God's wisdom and the Holy Spirit that dwells within us to deal with that? Because ultimately, before we were saved, we had lots of knowledge, but we didn't have the spiritual wisdom to deal with it. As believers, we should have the spiritual knowledge to deal with it. Why? The Holy Spirit dwells within us, correct? 1 Corinthians 2, 12 through 16. For what we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. Becky, I love your testimony. You now understand what God freely gave you. What has God freely given you? Everybody out here, God has given you something. God has given you life. God has given you redemption. God has brought restoration to your life. At least I hope. That God has brought you freedom from sin and that you don't have to live in those old worlds, in those old lives any longer. And it continues. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with spiritual taught words. What has the Spirit taught us? The Spirit has taught me a lot about spiritual warfare. The Spirit has taught me a lot about who I used to be and who I am today. The Spirit, you're going to hear a testimony today. The Spirit says, no, I don't accept that. And we're going to change diagnoses. And it's a miracle. See, wisdom in the spiritual sense is different than wisdom here on earthly sense. Some of the things we do don't make sense to the world. Speaking in tongues, right? You speak in tongues, the world goes, they all need a psychologist. Thank God we got Sid. And or we see a healing. Well, that can't happen. That's that doubt, right? Oh, no, that's really weird. I'm afraid. The spirit of fear. Oh, we don't want to talk about demonic things. Oh, my goodness. You know, that's really freaky. But I don't mind going and watching horror movies. Shake my head at that one. But anyways, God has given us spiritual wisdom through the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells within you. Open up your lives to that if you want to see change, if you want to see God's blessings poured out on you. And let's continue. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolish and cannot understand them because they are discerning only because they are discerned only through the Spirit. Is that true? I just kind of mentioned that. I bet if you talk to people that have been Christians for a long time and you guys have seen miracles and things happen. I used to talk to professors about some of the things that we've experienced and demons, and they're like, you're crazy. Maybe the reason I'm not working there anymore. I don't know. But anyways, when you talk to people about that stuff, they can't understand it. They don't want to understand it. They can't understand a healing. They can't understand provision. How many times has God provided for this church? Every time we turn around, we needed finances or we needed something, God's always provided. Right? Time after time after time, God has provided spiritual wisdom and has provided, based on his scripture, over and over and over and over again for this body of believers and for this church. And it continues. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to mere human judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. You cannot serve two masters. Scripture's clear about that. Where is your mind? If you want to have the wisdom of God, you have to have the mind of Christ. Do you live in the world or do you live in the Spirit? Where do we live? Do we play the games with our secular friends and then go pray for God? Well, those are things that are probably blocking you from having full spiritual revival inside of you. We need to be people that seek Christ always, that chase after him, that have a desire for him. We need to be willing to submit to God. What does submission look like? What is he telling you to do? What is his heart for you? What are you good at? You know, are you to maybe help with a building project, or we maybe need to help in community? What is it that God's calling you to do? What is it that God has made you for? That is something you should be seeking continuously. Because when we're seeking God and we're chasing those things, God can show up and show us. So often we put our blinders on, we come to church on Sunday, and wow, I love it. I tithe. I do my thing. I pray 15 minutes a day. But I promise you, God wants more. God needs more from us. We're in a time right now where the knowledge of the world is dictating a lot of things. At least I believe I'm right. There's a lot of insanity right now out there. There's a lot of biological principles and science that's being thrown out the window to accept a lie or a falsity or opinion. And I don't want to go into all those today. But the mind of Christ says they're deceived, they're hurt, they're broken, and they need Jesus. The mind of the world says they're perfectly fine, anybody that judges them is wrong, and they should be persecuted to the fullest extent of the law. Folks, we need to live in the life of submission so that we can reach the lost. Because even those people that are confused, even those people that are hurt, Jesus loves them. Jesus has a heart for them. Jesus wants them sitting right next to you. Every drug addict, every person that's lost, every person that's an adulterer, every person that is homosexual, God wants them to know him. But it only can come through a submission to Christ. James 4, 7 through 8. Submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. We have to submit. You want to see God manifest in your life, submit to him. Whatever that is. Our altars are always free. I'm telling you, in my life, I've had the most clarity at the altar. That's where God's done the most work in my life, either at the altar at church or at home when I'm deep in prayer. When I am on my face before him saying, Lord, do whatever it is you need to do in me because I need to be broken. Because I can be prideful. I can be filled with my own personal knowledge. God needed to do things in my life that I needed to draw to him. And he draws near to us. Get that principle. If you're not experiencing that relationship with God that you want, you have to draw near to him. You, when you draw near to him, he gives you the knowledge and the wisdom to know him. He gives you the mind of Christ. See, the mind of Christ isn't just, oh, I have heavenly thoughts of angels and Jesus. The mind of Christ is how to deal with situations. The mind of Christ pours out knowledge from the Spirit, knowledge from Scripture, knowledge maybe from situations. Maybe it's a spiritual discernment. Maybe it's, hey, I see it's spiritual warfare. Whatever it is, when we submit ourselves to God and we draw near to him and he draws near to us, things change. Things change in your life. And they will change for the better. Not that you're not going to have challenges. Because when I'm going to guarantee you that when you submit yourself and you draw near to God, yeah, the devil's going to come at you. And there's going to be things that will be challenging for you. But when you come near to him, I promise you, folks, I promise you, your life can change. That you can have a freedom that you've never experienced. You can have the freedom that baby Jesus came for and that adult Jesus died for. Romans 12:1. I don't have scripture for that. I only had 25 minutes, Pam. Sorry. Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. We come here on Sundays to worship God. Raise our hands. We sing some music. Make it more than just the music and being here. It is about submitting yourself to God as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing. Which means we have to live lives that are filled with the mind of Christ. So that when we have the mind of Christ, we're not sinning. We're not going on websites and looking at bad things. Or we're not saying stupid things. Or we're not cussing and swearing or whatever it is that's out there, folks. That's sinful. Maybe it's getting angry. The mind of Christ, in submission to him, is where we need to go.